career, was planning the facility here in Northfield. So to be able to use that experience going forward is awesome. I love it.
And I notice you do have a goatee.
Yep.
How long you
have? I actually shaved for you this morning.
Well, thank you very much. You know, you get to be my age. You plucked them every once in a while. One pops out.
Right.
The reason I ask you to stay over is because I enjoy talking to you. And in addition to that, folks, a former, you know, I want to say police chief, but you had that title changed while you were here.
Yeah. You know, Wayne, what I tell people now that I'm retired, if they say, what do you do or what did you do, I say I was police chief because when I say director of public safety, then I have to explain to everybody what
yeah,
that is.
Yeah, it sounds bureaucratic yeah. a little bit. But I first met you when you came to town, and then I met your wife on a motorcycle, what did we call
the
it?
Outlaw Run.
The Outlaw Run.
Yep.
And I was really impressed with the fact that you and your wife both had motorcycles, yep. and you didn't play the role of a cop. You were just part of the group. And right. we had a whole lot of fun on those.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
It went from like 50 bikes to about 300.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. That thing grew year after year.
Yeah, it was pretty much getting to the point of being unmanageable.
Right. Yeah. Those groups can get too big.
Yep. So anyhow, the reason I asked you if you'd stick around, number one, I don't have a guest book for today, but number two, I said, have you had your bike out yet?
Right.
And you and your wife, what's your wife's name?
Suzette.
Suzette, have not taken the Harleys out of the garage.
Well, we have, actually, because I was just telling Terry and Jeff before we started the show this morning that we did what's called a fly-in ride, and they ride out of Faribault Harley. And we did a lot of business there while we lived in Northfield. And they're hooked up with a guy called Nelson Tours. He's out of Spicer, Minnesota. And what they do, he's got a big motorcycle semi-trailer with a lift on it. And he can get like 30 motorcycles in this trailer. And he's a tour guide. So what he does, he picks your bikes up at Faribault Harley and a couple other spots in the state. And then he brings them. He's got like four or five trips that he does around the nation. One of them is in Fredericksburg, Texas. So Suzette and I actually loaded our bikes and got in between the snow, mind you, in the last several weeks. Got our bikes down to Faribault Harley, got them loaded, and we did that trip down to Fredericksburg, which was awesome. It's hill country in Texas.
So, okay, you take your bike out of the garage. Does he come to you and load your bike, or do you drive to someplace?
Faribault Harley is where he picks them up. So I had to get him there. I had to get him to Faribault.
So you trailered him there?
Yep, I trailered him down.
Okay.
There. Yep.
So then he gets all of these bikes in the semi.
Yep.
And then you buy a plane ticket?
What he does is he does all the accommodations. So he's set up in he's picked these spots out. He's been there. He's done these several times. So it's usually, if you think of a good motorcycle hotel or accommodations, it's usually, has a center court. And then has the room, you park your bike right outside your room. It's, one of those concept deals. So that's what he has down there. And so you pay for him to transport your bike back and forth and the accommodations. And you basically have to pay for your meals and your flight down there and back.
Okay.
But it's for what you get, it's pretty reasonable.
Does he tour then as a group, or do
yep.
you say just go because it's warm?
What he's learned over the years is he'll give you like a map with four or five rides, and if it's 25, 30 bikes, he likes people to break up into groups of four to eight.
Yeah.
And as you know, as you being a rider, Wayne, that the bigger the group, sometimes it gets really difficult to yeah. keep everybody together. So.
And so what's the weather like, and where is Fredericksburg?
Fredericksburg is it's an awesome town. It's a lot like Northfield, where they've got a huge downtown. It's longer than Northfield is, but where there's restaurants, all shopping. It's just a really nice community, and it's the number two place to retire in Texas, so it's interesting to me. But
well,
it's between Austin and San Antonio.
And so what is the weather like?
Oh, it was great. 80 to 85 every day. We had one day where it rained a little bit, but then there's some really nice tourist things to do down there. Lyndon Johnson, the former vice president and then president, his Texas ranch is right outside of Fredericksburg, so we toured that. That was pretty cool.
You went on to the ranch?
Yep. You buy a ticket and you get to see the ranch and then you get the tour of the house.
And what's cool. Oh, you go in the house?
You go in the house where him and his.
Is it a museum like setup then? And nobody lives there?
Right, yeah. Now nobody lives there. She was there until she passed away, and that isn't so many years ago. I can't remember exactly the date, but that isn't so many years ago. So her, you know, like they'll have her clothes hanging in the closet. They have a plastic shield over it so people can't grab or touch or any of that, but. It's really neat to be able to get into a former president's Texas ranch. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah, and that's Lady Bird you're talking about.
Lady Bird, yes, yeah. You're correct.
The woman that's...
And her clothes are as bright as you remember. I saw them hanging in her closet.
Okay. How about anything? Did you see a stuffed dog with its ears being pulled?
No, but I heard the story.
Okay. Did they have a picture of him showing his surgical aftermath?
Yes, I believe there was one there somewhere.
Okay. San Antonio, did you get to San Antonio?
We did not. We, the cities are a little, both those cities are a little big to be riding a motorcycle in. We rode all over in hill country, and the last day we actually hit a Texas barbecue, and it's as good as they say it is. Man,
wow.
Is that good.
And who were the people you rode with?
Well, Suzette and I, my wife and I went, and, you know, basically, we've done a few of these rides, so there's a few people that kind of are repeat customers. So we met a lot of new people, and they're from all over the state. You know, we met people from New Ulm to the Twin Cities to southeast Minnesota down by Rochester. I mean, people come from all over for these tours. He could sell this thing out about five times, I think. But he's got a good thing going there.
It'd be fun to have the guy open up the back end and look in there and see all those bikes. I imagine he's got them all tied down and
they're all tied. Yep, 4-point tied down. And he said in all the years, I've watched him load them, and you know he said in all the years he's only had one mishap, and you know guy's gas tank got scratched a little bit, but. You know, for all the trips he's taken and all the times he's done this, it's pretty amazing. He's very cautious with your bike.
Mark, do you remember when we had the Outlaw Run?
Yep.
And we all parked behind Division Street in the parking lot there. And do you remember when I had the pleasure of getting things going and said, okay, everybody other than Harleys and Victories, start your engines, and you hear the little electric hardly any noise. Okay, Harley and Victory, go for it. And blah, 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 that's always a big thrill.
Yep, that was great.
Did you, what was the, because we both ride bikes, what was the ratio of Rice Eaters and Harleys?
On this last trip I took? I would say Harley, 90% Harley.
Okay.
There was a couple Honda Goldwings in there, and, you know, what's becoming really popular, and then he can't haul as many bikes on his trailer, but... Is trikes.
Yeah.
There was a couple of, like yours, Wayne, Honda Goldwing trikes and a couple of Harley trikes. And, man, it's fun to watch. When you follow those guys, some of those guys can really ride those things.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
And when I first got that trike, they told me what's going to happen. For example, if you go over like a grate or rigids,
right.
The front end just shakes.
Right.
And any on a motorcycle, that front end starts shaking, you worry.
Right.
But it took a while to get used to the fact that you're going to bobble.
Right.
And then I remember going into Kerr's, well, let's see. Highway 3 North, when you get to Viking,
right,
going around that simple curve, you just hardly, you steer it, you don't lean it. And that's the part I don't like about trikes. But I can keep up to people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just got to trust it. And it's a lot of fun. And I had, I think, the first trike in town in regards to the type that we're using nowadays. And then we had our good friend Jim down at the Hideaway. Mm. You remember Jim?
Yep.
And Joan?
Yep.
He went into business building trikes. Mm. And it was like 2008,
ooh,
bad year to go into business.
Yep.
And now today, trikes are really big.
And Harley, it's their number one up-and-coming seller for them. Because us old bike riders, yeah, Wayne, are going to trikes. That's, yeah, probably my next step.
Well, I ride with the Rice County Sheriff's Department Motorcycle Unit. And I would say they're trikes, but a couple of two-wheelers get in there, like TJ.
Right.
Well, he's got a new bike.
He's got an Indian, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, is that neat.
Yeah, I like those new. I haven't actually driven one of those, but I know that I like the looks of them. They're a sharp-looking motorcycle.
And something that I had never seen before, we were doing a parade down in, I don't even remember where, we go to so many parades, but he came up and started the bike. And I said, you just push the button and it starts? He said, yeah. I said, well, where's the key? And I'm looking all over. Well, I never even heard of a fob.
Yeah, my Harley has that as well.
Oh, you have a new one then.
Yeah.
Okay. Almost brand new?
14. It's a few, yeah.
But I don't know what FOB stands for, but my wife has a car that uses that, and I don't trust those things.
Well, the bad part with the Harley is that if the it's got a watch battery in that fob, and so if that, luckily, I've always had two of them, but if you are somewhere with your fob and that battery fails, the bike won't start because it just alarms, it doesn't sense a key. So you'll sit there and everything will flash at you, and you actually have to have a code from Harley to bypass that fob. Well, yeah, most people are like sitting somewhere and they're realizing it's like, oh, well, I'm screwed because I don't have that code.
And by the way, for those of you that don't know, because I just learned last summer, an FOB, a fob, is the key that they give you in new vehicles and motorcycles, and you have to have that key on you.
It's a proximity. Yep, got to be close to the bike. Yep.
And to start it, and when you walk away, everything locks up. And if you lose that, you're talking at least $300 to replace it.
They're expensive.
Yep. And I'm going, $300 for a key? I can't believe it. 19 minutes after 9 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, my guest this morning is former police chief Mark Taylor. And he's in town today to join Jeff Johnson on the air. I don't have a guest, and I asked you to stick around and chit-chat. And what do you think? Do you get involved in what is going on, since you're not a police officer anymore, the problems that drugs are creating more and more in our community, opiates. Was that going on when you were police chief back in what would have been the early 2000s?
Yeah. We were dealing, when I first arrived here as the police chief, we were dealing with more of a heroin issue, overdoses and so on. Now, normally these things change in that there's trends with drug activity and all that. And I know, I'm following it. Yes. I mean, it's just troublesome to kind of watch it and to figure out what I'm glad to see that most police agencies and sheriff's offices and, law enforcement in general, and the treatment aspect. I mean, that those things are really being examined because it's very needed. And the mental health thing, that's a whole nother discussion. Yeah. Because I remember, Wayne, early in my career when there was a whole bunch of state hospitals around and large ones around the state of Minnesota.
Terrible.
Yeah, right. And I can remember three or four in the state back in those days, and they kind of one by one shut down as the state cut funding to those hospitals. And what I used to say, I worked for a sheriff's office for 20 years before I came to Northfield, and I was a chief deputy there when I left, and so I was in charge of the jail there, and that was part of my duties, and those people ended up in jail. That's where we saw them. So we'd see it every day. We'd think, this person should be in a treatment facility, should be in a state hospital somewhere, but what do you do with them? Unfortunately, the last person, the kind of the end of the road is when law enforcement has to deal with them, and then they get arrested and they end up in jail. So, and then they don't get the help they need. They go back out and they reoffend, and it's just a never ending cycle. So,
you ever watch PD Live?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you'd enjoy that, I think. And most of the they have like 8 locations in the southeastern part of the United States. And they do it. They say it's live, but in reality, they edit it. It is live, as they shoot it, then they edit it and send it over to watch. And it's amazing how many people are goofy. Unfortunately, I shouldn't use that word, but are mentally disturbed.
Yep.
And it's like, what do you do?
What do you do
with them?
So that's why I say unfortunately, what ends up happening. They do something that's illegal, and so they end up in jail.
When you mentioned heroin, you were dealing with the heroin problem. I was one of the deniers.
Okay.
I can't remember the police chief that came out with...
Gary Smith, he was prior to me. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yep. Okay. And I frankly said, wait a minute, not in my backyard. That's right. Not happening. And he did the big
yeah, I remember
press yep. conference and brought in the Twin City media and all that. And I just didn't want to believe it, and it turned out there were deaths and arrests in Northfield.
Well, and part of why, Wayne, you weren't the only one, because it was unbelievable because Northfield actually was one of the first cities in the state of Minnesota that was affected by it. I remember Minneapolis and some of the bigger cities, after I had been here a few years, we're now starting to see the onslaught of heroin overdoses happening in their cities and communities. But we actually already were dealing with it or had dealt with it here. But what happens is you end up with a couple of direct connections that are able to get it and bring it into your community. And that's what happened in Northfield. So you weren't the only one, because, again, we were one of the first cities here affected.
Did you ever get involved personally in an arrest for somebody that was using meth, amphetamines?
You know, yes, because when I was back in my earlier days, when I was an investigator, and this isn't really a claim to fame, but I'll mention it anyway.
Sure.
Is that when I worked in McLeod County Sheriff's Office back in probably about early 90s, 92, 93, we discovered what was considered the first meth lab in Minnesota back in those days. And it was in a rural farm place, in McLeod County. And we walked into that place, Wayne, and we walked into the basement, and we didn't have any protection on because we didn't know what we were dealing with. And the chemicals just burned your lungs and your throat. It was so strong. And, you know, thinking back at that now, how kind of dumb we were, but we didn't know. We were naive, and we ended up calling in. I remember we had to search for a chemical company that'd be willing to come in and deal with it because, again, it was all new to this area, to Minnesota.
You didn't know what you were looking at.
No. I mean, we kind of did after we figured some things out, but it was, you know, and the crime lab in Minnesota, BCA, told us this is the first meth lab that's been discovered that's actually producing in Minnesota.
And what town was that?
It was in the rural Broughton area, which is down by Glencoe. That's our county seat. Hutchinson's the town you know from that county.
Right,
probably,
and the rural part of it is
rural.
That, number one, you can hide.
Right, exactly.
And number two, you can get chemicals necessary from the co-ops.
Yep, and back in those days, nobody was looking for, you know, what are these guys buying, you know?
Yeah.
Now everybody's a little more on alert because we know what it is and what's needed to produce it. So
did you ever were you ever involved in an arrest where the person is so strong it takes eight cops to bring them down?
Oh, yeah.
Four?
Yeah. Yep. And meth is a horrible drug. I mean, that's, people are just, I remember telling somebody during a parade, we were with some family and friends, and there was a guy that was just fidgeting around at the parade, and you know, he had all the signs physically too, as well as being nervous and jumping around. And I said, that's what somebody looks like when they're on meth.
Yeah. I've seen television shows where they're talking about what meth can do.
Right.
And they show, what do you call that when you take the picture with the measurement there?
Right.
What do you call that picture? When you know, the guy, the profile and facial front.
Oh, yeah, okay. Booking photo?
Thank you.
Yep, there you go.
And they showed the booking photo of men and women. Mm-hmm. Each time they were arrested.
Oh, I've seen those too.
Yeah, and it's just like...
5 years later or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and the teeth are gone.
Teeth are gone.
And big sores all over
yep,
their face.
Exactly.
Oh, it's a terrible, terrible thing. I got to tell you another thing that I was thinking about this morning, because Terry Knight and Jeff Johnson give birthdays, and they were talking about a guy that starred in the Bridge Over the River Kwai. I don't know if you remember that movie.
I do.
Doot, 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 doot. Well, you know,
do you have the music for that one here, Wayne?
I probably could find it. Do you, pedestrian bridge between 2nd and 4th?
Yep.
When that was being built, I was against it.
Okay.
And the reason was is that I remember proposing to the Lions Club way back in the early 70s, wouldn't it be cool if we had a pedestrian bridge? It would look so nice, like San Antonio.
Right.
And I'm visualizing a wooden walkboard. And, well, of course, we couldn't do that because you have everybody involved, the Corps of Engineers and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But the city council voted to build that bridge, and it was going to cost $250,000.
Wow.
So I put together the music, do-do-do-do-do-do, and I said, the saga of the bridge over the river. Why? And, of course, it's going to cost too much.
Now.
And they built it, and yep. I have to say today, I was wrong. They were right. How much would it cost to build that thing
man.
Today? Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yep.
When you go down, I would assume you're going to stop by the police station today.
Yep, I sure hope to.
And, you know, say hello to some people that you remember.
Yep.
And see the big difference from when you were there. And then enjoy the amenities that you were involved in putting in.
Yep. So, I've been there a couple times. It's night and day compared to what we had, and it's much needed. I mean, what they have is it's a fully great functioning police station in today's world. I mean, I'm very happy for them. I was very, very proud of that.
When you were talking to Jeff earlier this morning, you were mentioning that you're working for a company out of Wisconsin that builds like 100 fire stations,
right.
And in now Minnesota, and you're a consultant on the structure, I assume. Do you have to do all of the bureaucratic things that come along with proposals for communities to build a new fire station or police station?
It's a good question. One of the things that they want me to do, and what their fire chief does in Wisconsin, is sometimes when you're the person building the facility, it's good to have another voice there with you that's kind of an outsider that can say, yeah, you know, this is needed and here's why, because sometimes it just adds more credibility or more, you know, it's just another set of eyes looking at it. And so they found this model to be really successful. And yeah, that is part of it, is that we help them initially. Usually we go in and we do a space study to see what the spatial issues are in their current building. And then look at, you know, kind of what would be needed. And you're just kind of going through that. And then you actually, if it's something, you can kind of put a price tag to it at that point and be pretty close. And then if the city says, yes, we want to move forward with that, then we would get into the actually planning with the police chief, the officers, that type of thing, to actually start planning the facility.
And, of course, they already would have had the land, the location chosen?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Oh,
and
then
yeah, that
tough.
Can be an issue, yeah,
yeah.
Because, you know, we had one up in northern Minnesota recently where we ran into, and it's interesting because it kind of reminds me a little bit of Northfield, having all the rock, you know.
Okay.
And they have a similar issue because it's up in the range country, and they found out that they, you know, the soil samples, and when you start doing some of those things, you know, they ran into some issues with that. So those things can happen. Or you have old dumps, you know, where there's soil issues because of, you know, where dumps used to be.
Do you get to stay in nice facilities when you're on the road?
You know, lately it's been a 14-hour day, Wayne. You drive over there, you do your thing, and you drive back.
Oh.
But okay. We will have some of that, yes.
And which communities are you working on now?
Right now we're working on one in just east of Eau Claire, and then we've got a couple up in northern Minnesota, southwest Minnesota, and southern Minnesota.
Okay.
For police stations. They've also got a lot of fire stations going on.
Isn't Wisconsin known for building fire trucks?
Yeah.
For some reason.
I think you're right. Yeah. I'm trying to think of which manufacturer, but yes.
Okay.
I think it's Prince. I can't remember.
Now, I know that you're meeting some people for breakfast, and
yep.
You got to get going, and you were so gracious as to stop by and visit longer. And what about the family? How are things going with the whole family?
Good. My wife is working at a company called Loop Tech up in Golden Valley, and she's the head of HR, human resources there. And my kids are all in the Twin Cities. My son Jordan is in St. Paul.
Whereabouts in St. Paul?
He is over by,
You know the street name?
I don't know St. Paul very well. Ashland?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. That's up in the cathedral area.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
I don't know St. Paul as well as I do Minneapolis. I like St. Paul.
I'm from St. Paul.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. It's a great community. And then my daughter, my oldest daughter, Kirsten, just got married in January. So I have a new son-in-law.
In January?
Yeah, January wedding. Luckily, it didn't snow. They got married in Shakopee.
In January.
And she's a school teacher in Minneapolis. And at one of the Minneapolis schools. And my youngest daughter is working full-time and working on her master's. On her master's degree. And she is going to be... when she gets her master's, her hope is to be a high school counselor.
Well, I want to say good for you, and it's nice to be able to have the kids all taken care of and know where they're at.
It's fun to see them kind of as turn into these adults that they are.
Okay.
Really enjoyed that.
One last thing. Yep. My wife and I celebrated our 29th wedding anniversary on Sunday, April 15th. You know what it was like this year on April 15th.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, wow, I'm glad that didn't happen then.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that would have been. Yeah.
It was overcast and a little cool. But all right. Well, thank you.
You would have been stuck to home and ordering pizza or something. Maybe.
Well, we did do that at the Archer House that night.
At the Archer. There you go.
Thanks, Mark, for stopping by.
Very good to see you, Wayne.
Okay, my pleasure. That, of course, Mark Taylor, former police chief and another big title I can't ever remember. Thank you very much. I was Jeff Johnson's guest, and I asked if he could stick around a little bit and chit-chat with me and get an update on that motorcycling. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to feature the year 1988, and that's 30 years ago. And those of you that are planning to do a little bit of celebrating in regards to your 30th class reunion, I want to say that I am going to be playing that music, number 10 through number 1, and see if you can remember the song. And even if it wasn't your year to graduate from high school or college, if you were around in 1988, I want to know if you can remember the songs that I'm going to be playing. All right, here we go with number 10 in all of 1988 on the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Touching heat, freezing on my skin, I pretend you.